Father, we pray that as we look into your word this morning, that you enlighten us. Lord, that you would challenge us with what is being said and what comes from your word. And I pray that you would use me as your instrument to share what needs to be shared. Lord, I may have a few notes, but if you want to carry me a different direction, Lord, you just demonstrate that, show it, and use your spirit in my life to just do your will. Lord, I pray now that you would bless this time as we look into your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is Valentine's Day on Tuesday, and so I really have to share a message about love. But the first thing that I thought I would do is share a little bit about the research that I found out about Valentine's Day. A very interesting history that Valentine's Day has. Actually, there were quite a few priests named Valentine, and they were all martyred. You know, I thought that a little strange, really, when we were sending cards to one another, candy, and saying we love you and that kind of thing, when all the priests that were named Valentine basically were martyred. And so we go around and send cards and say Happy Valentine's Day. Wasn't too happy for them, except that, you know, they were ushered into eternity with the Lord. But there are some stories about Valentine, and one of the most famous ones, I think, very much where this holiday came from, or this recognition day came from. It was a priest in Rome named Valentine, of course, and he helped persecuted Christians. He would protect them and hide them. And during that time, Claudius II was the emperor, and so he was persecuting Christians, and so Valentine was helping them. He also performed secret weddings for soldiers in the Roman army because they couldn't be married. But, you know, they would find someone and want to get married, and he would go ahead and perform these secret weddings, according to the story. Also, according to the story, he was called in to meet with Claudius II, kind of like being called to the principal's office or, you know, pastor's office, whatever. And so he goes to meet Claudius, and Claudius tried to convert him to paganism, tried to get him to denounce his faith in Christ. Well, Valentine witnessed to Claudius and tried to get him to convert to Christianity, and so Claudius put him in jail to be martyred. So before his execution, while he was in jail, according to the story, the jailer's daughter was blind, and Valentine prayed over her, and she was healed from her blindness. And so, just before Valentine went to the gallows or whatever they did to kill him, he wrote a card to this daughter, and he signed it, "Your Valentine." Now, that many years later, and we now sign cards and express our devotion to one another. It's a stretch, you know, to me. But whatever it is, you know. Now we get into the candy hearts that say "Be mine" and "I love you," "I dig you." That was back in my day. "I dig you," remember? And love bug. I found some online. I was looking at the different ones. "Me and you," you know, and that kind of stuff. Well, somehow I think it diminishes the idea of love. I just don't see real love in a candy heart that says "Be mine." So we're going to look at love, the real love, and we want to see exactly what love is and what it means. So let's go to 1 John chapter 4, 1860 in the Pew Bibles. It's way toward the back of the Bible, 1860. 1 John chapter 4, and starting in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. So this says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." Verse 10. "This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So we see this is just really puts it together. We can send the cards and we can send the hearts and we can send, you know, the little things, you know, love bug and whatever, but that really isn't love. According to 1 John here, it says we're supposed to love one another, but not, you know, the imitation love. This love, it says, comes from God. And when it comes from God, it says, you know, everyone that loves has been born of God and knows God. So you can't love without God, according to the scripture. And we'll see some other ones in a little bit. So then in verse 8 it says, "Whoever does not love God does not know God, because what? God is love." Okay? God is love. So it's not his character. It's not what he's learned. It's who he is. God is love. Now, it says this is how God showed his love among us. So, God is love. Now, it's a demonstration of his love. And this is how he showed it among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, verse 10 is really interesting because he says, "This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice." So now, what we get a picture of is that love isn't dependent on the person giving it back. It's dependent only on the person who gives it. Love is not a 50-50 proposition. You know, for us, you know, you get married, you go to the pastor, you get all set up to get married in the church, and you talk about how marriage is a give-and-take thing. No, it's not. It's only give. You say, well, that doesn't work too good because I don't want to always give and give and give and never get anything back. But that's not love if you're expecting something back. You see, God didn't expect anything back because you know what? It says here in verse 10 again, it says, "This is love. Not that we loved God." We didn't care one iota about God. We didn't love him first. It says God loved us first. And he sent his Son, an atoning sacrifice. So now we see another picture of love. Another picture of love is that it's a sacrificial giving. It's not just, you know, like I was in the service. We're on the flight line in the truck, and we're sitting there. And this guy looks over and says, "So how's it going?" I said, "Well, it's my birthday today." He said, "Oh." He pulls an orange out of his pocket. And he says, "Here, happy birthday." That was not sacrificial love. The reason why it wasn't sacrificial love is because he got the orange from the chow hall. He didn't pay anything for it. He didn't sacrifice it. He just gave it to me because he had an extra orange and thought, well, you can have it. And so it really wasn't sacrificial love. Sacrificial love is like, you know, saving somebody's life, diving out in front of them. You know, you have only $10 to your name, and you look at this person who is needing it more than you. You give it to them. You don't expect anything back. Marriage is supposed to be the ultimate in love. And yet too many times, too often, we expect something from the other one. We want, you know, "Hey, scratch my back and I'll rub your feet." Or vice versa. You know, we expect something in return. And that's not love. Love is what Jesus did. Remember what Jesus did in the upper room, the Last Supper? He washed the disciples' feet. But that was, you know, Peter saying, "Oh, I'm going to wash your feet." No, you're not. And Jesus explains it. And of course, Peter jumps in and he says, "Well, wash all of me then. You know, come on. Don't stop at my feet." And Jesus said, "You're missing the whole point. Servanthood, giving, that's love. And so it's a sacrificial gift to someone else, not thinking about yourself." I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5 as we continue in this look at love. Chapter 5, 1781 in the Pew Bibles, 1781 in your Pew Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 25. Right away when you get there, you're going to see husbands. So you're going to, oh boy, here we go. He's going to go get after the husbands. Well, I'm just going to tell you what love is according to the Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives." Okay, good. I can do that. But it says, "Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church." So now we get another picture of how love is expressed. It says, "Husbands, love your wife just like Christ loved the church and gave himself up." Well, it doesn't mean that we all have to go out and get nailed to a cross. That's not what this is talking about. But it does mean that Christ had a specific idea involved. He had a specific desire for the church. And the church, he wanted to be pure. He wanted it to grow. He wanted the church to become more like God, more like Him, more able to be pure and reaching out to other people and sharing. And according to this, it says we should love our wives the same way Christ loved the church and gave himself. So we're supposed to give of ourselves to our wives for the specific purpose of encouraging them in their growth so they can become more Christ-like, like Christ. More Christ-like, like we should be giving to one another. And it's the man's responsibility. You know, you hear this so often, you know, the man is the spiritual head of the household. And that's true. Now, the wife, of course, when we stand before God, can't say, "He didn't do this or didn't do that," because we all are responsible for ourselves. But God will hold us accountable for not being the spiritual leaders in our house. Because we should lead not only by example, but also by giving. Open up that Bible and say, "Honey, come on over and let's read together. We got a book we read every day and we really enjoy it." You know, but the thing that we have to do is the guy has to say, "Honey, come on over here. Let's pray." And it's okay once in a while for the wife to say, "You know, honey, it's time for prayer. You know, we haven't prayed yet. Or are we going to read out of the book today?" That's okay. But the man shouldn't say, "No, we're not going to do that today. Forget about it." He is there to encourage, to sacrificially give, to say, "You know what, I'm busy, but you know, I'm going to set this time aside. I'm going to quit what I'm doing, and this is the priority. You are my priority." And so husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Well, it goes farther than that. As you go down a little farther, it says, in the same way, we love our wives as ourselves, as our own bodies, because we never abused our own body. You know, I've yet to see anyone grab hot coals with their hands, bare hands, and say, I want to burn my hands off. I just don't know of anybody in a sane state of mind. Maybe drugged out or something, you know, you might do that. But if you're thinking sanely, you do not want to hurt yourself. If somebody swipes at you with a knife, you back up. How many of you, when somebody goes like this to you, just leave your face out there? You guard yourself. You put your hands up. Somebody goes to kick at you, you guard yourself. Nobody just stands there and says, go ahead, I deserve it. We want to protect ourselves. We want to protect what? You know, our health too. Don't you take cold medicine when you get sick? You're taking care of yourself. You get hungry, don't you eat? You know, if you get cold, don't you put on a coat? And it says here we do the same for our wives as husbands. That's love. And the same way for our children. You know, we don't kick them around. And, you know, there have been people locking their kids in closets and things. That's not love. We know that. So we need to express that love. You know, it's easy to say, I love you. It's easy to go up to somebody and give them a little hug. But what are you doing to express your love? There should be a relationship of trust and respect and honor. And that's how we treat ourselves, with honor and respect. I don't interrupt myself. I haven't done that before. You know, you may have low esteem, a low self-esteem, but you do protect yourself. You do take care of yourself. You don't hurt yourself. And so that's what it says here. It says that we also love our wives sacrificially, giving of ourselves, encouraging and helping our wives to become better, to become more Christ-like, to encourage them in Christ. So now, the last scripture I want us to go to, 1 Corinthians 13. We already saw it up on the screen, but I want us to go to 1 Corinthians 13, 1746 in the Pew Bibles. 1746. Now, in this scripture, we're going to basically look mostly at verses 4 through 8. But I want you to just basically, verses 1 through 3. Basically, 1 through 3 says, without love, you can't do anything. Without love, you're worthless. Without love, you have nothing. You know, and that's basically what this scripture is telling you in the first part of it. It says, you know, you're a clinging symbol, you have nothing. If you don't have love, you gain nothing, etc. So without love, you have nothing. Why is it that without love, you have nothing? Because God is love. God is love. If you don't have love, you don't have anything because you don't have God. So then it says in verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, love never fails. Well, that's a tall order. How many of us have always been patient? Anybody always been patient? Always? You might be a little impatient right now. I don't know. Let me see. Yeah. Want to get out of here? I guess I just got a couple more minutes. Bear with me. You know, in verse 13, how many are always patient? Well, if you don't have love, you can't be patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. How many have sought your own good because you want it? It's not easily angered. How many have ever gotten angry? That's easy. I don't want to see any hands up. Everybody has gotten angry. You know, now, no record of wrongs. How many ladies have kept a record of wrongs for, you know, like little, yeah, 1 week? 1 week limit? How many ladies or guys have a file cabinet? You pull that open and you say, you know, back in 2001 on this particular day, you did. It says here, you keep no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. You know why we don't keep a record of wrongs? Because God said that He buries your sin in the deepest sea. So why should you keep a record of wrongs on somebody else? Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Here's the clincher. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and it never fails. And I know we don't match up to that. Because we cannot match up to that. Because without God, we can't do it. The only way we can do it is through God. By His power. You know, how many times have we failed? God is love. And without God, you can't do it. Only through Him. So the big question, I guess, really is, do you have God in your life? You know, I've heard people say out there, you know, well, you know, I couldn't do this life without the man upstairs. Really? Let's not call him the man upstairs, okay? You know what it tells me is that the person who says that really doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because without that relationship, we have a more distant relationship with God our Father. You know, Scripture tells us that we say Abba Father. Daddy is what it really is, the term. We should have a close relationship with God. Doesn't mean you don't honor Him, don't hallow His name. But it does mean that we have a relationship with Him. That my Father in heaven, I want to have that relationship. And if you don't have that relationship, you can't do what I just shared. Now you can try. But what happens is we focus on the outward stuff. You know, like, she's pretty. He's a hunk. You know, we have that outside picture. And then we start talking to each other and say, well, you know, I could talk with her a little bit while, you know, sometimes you see someone, wow, she's really pretty and she has an obnoxious voice, like scratching chalkboard. Or the guy, you know, he's a real hunk, but he's dumb as a rock. You know, and I can't even talk to him, you know. You know, those are the kind of things. We look at those things mostly, but we need to look at the three things that God has given us. Our physical appearance, that's great. That's the first spark. You go, wow. And then the second thing is intellect. And you go after the intellect and you go, wow, I can really talk to her. But the third thing is the most important, the spiritual aspect. Are they a Christian? Do they believe in Jesus as their Savior? If they do, I want to tell you, a three-strand rope is the strongest thing you can find. You know, other than five or six, you know, you can get even more than that. But three-strand, they find that Trinity is a strong bound, a strong cord. And that's what you want in a marriage. You want the three items together. Because if you leave one out, you're hanging there on a thin, you're walking on thin ice. Because looks will fade away. Intellect isn't always there, let me tell you. You know, you can get dementia, and then you're going to throw them to the curb because they can't think straight anymore. If they get in a car accident and their looks fade, scars, and something else happens, they get burned, then you throw them to the curb. Love is beyond that. You have that three connect, that three principle connection. And so what I encourage you to do, I'm going to close in prayer, then we'll have our last song. Pray with me if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior. If you're tired, if you want that love, let's just bow our heads and pray before I close out with that last song. Father, we come before you, and we can't do this. Love evades us. It isn't there. I want to love someone. I want to be connected with that person, but for some reason, it just is nothing there. And I find that I can't do it by myself. I need your love to come through me to love others. Not just a husband-wife love, but to love others. People around me who might rub me the wrong way sometimes or might not be who I want them to be. Lord, I haven't trusted you with my life, and I want to trust you now. Save me from my sins. Come into my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me live my life according to your will and character. Thank you for that. Lord, I pray for those of us who have been Christians for a long time. Lord, renew our spirit. Help us to follow you more closely. To love as you love. To sacrifice for my wife or my girlfriend or for those around me. To show them your love. Thank you for today. Thank you for reminding of us of that love. And thank you for helping us in that area. We pray now that you bless the song as we sing it and help us to keep on with that fire within us as we go about our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing that last song. It'll be up on the screen, three verses, I Then Shall Live. Thank you.